Recently, the National Football League announced that it had agreed to a $765 million settlement with former NFL players in a case alleging fraud, intentional misrepresentation, and negligence regarding the risks involved with repeated head injuries resulting in long-term neurological disorders. The lawsuit is over, but important questions remain as to what the NFL knew and when concerning the link between repetitive concussions or mild traumatic brain injuries and dementia, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, Alzheimer's, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS. Generally, when players are injured in contact sports, the law assumes that the athlete consented to the intentional and negligent harms from football tackles, basketball elbows, flying baseballs, and even concussions. These injuries are known risks in various contact sports. But the plaintiffs here weren't suing the NFL because they sustained concussions. They were suing because the NFL allegedly knew but did not disclose hidden risks of continuing to play after repeated concussions in the same game, in the same week, and over a career. The complaint alleges that prior to 1994, the NFL should have known of the risks of repeated concussions based on various accepted studies of boxers and football players, but never changed the rules of play, required different equipment, or made those risks known to the players. Moreover, in 1994, the NFL established a mild traumatic brain injuries committee, which the complaint alleges produced biased and conflicted reports that there was no link between MTBI and neurological problems, and that there was no increased risk of returning to play in a game after receiving a concussion. During the same time period, the complaint alleges, multiple scientific studies were establishing that quite the opposite was true, and that pro football players were 19 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's than the general population and had a similar increased risk of developing dementia. Furthermore, of deceased NFL players that have undergone autopsies, almost all showed evidence of CTE, which can only be determined posthumously. In 2010, the NFL's MTBI committee was renamed the Head, Neck, and Spine Committee, the chairman was replaced, and the committee denounced its earlier work as biased and infected. So, is the $765 million settlement a vindication for the injured players, some of whom suffer from chronic, debilitating, and sometimes fatal conditions? Any retired player may be eligible for much-needed medical care and compensation now instead of after lengthy litigation, and claimants do not have to prove that their injuries were caused by any specific NFL career concussions, which could be difficult. Claimants with the most serious injuries could receive up to $5 million, and survivors of players with CTE up to $4 million. However, most commentators have concluded that the settlement is a win for the NFL. First, the NFL reportedly earns $9.3 billion in revenue a year, and half of the settlement amount is payable over 20 years. More importantly, a settlement means that no NFL official or MTBI committee member will be deposed or put on the witness stand to testify as to what was being said behind the scenes about the long-term effect of concussions and the short-term profits to be made by keeping the game exciting and star players off the bench. The NFL gets to look like a responsible guardian and avoid having its dirty laundry aired in the court of public opinion. And for other similar defendants, no lawsuit means no precedential value in cases involving high school or college football or any other sport. This is Christine Hurt.